The Coens broke up? Like, how do you break up brothers? That's
well,
brutal.
Well, they started directing different movies. One of them, it's very funny. It's like a fun little experiment where the Coens, instead of making movies together, have now been making movies apart, and you now know which Coens were doing what things in the Coen brothers movies. So you know, like, there's always like, oh, like really, really goofy slapstick stuff. And then there's like deadly serious, like morality tale stuff.
Yeah. So which one is Joel and which one is Ethan?
And so Joel, I believe, I'm just double checking, I'm getting these right. Ethan is the goof. He directed Driveway. Ethan is the goof married to a lesbian who is now writing like a trio of like lesbian crime movies that he's directing, like Driveway
Dolls.
We
gotta respect being married to a lesbian, because there's two ways of doing that. You are either an egg or my ex-husband, right? It's legitimate either way.
So he directed Driveway Dolls, and then Joel did like The Tragedy of Macbeth with Denzel, which was great. And like, but it's like a German expressionist Macbeth, which is very, it's like, oh, but it's like, oh great, we've actually conducted the experiment. We now know which Coen does what, and we can put them back together. Good job, everybody. Please.
We know which one slept through the entirety of the production of No Country for Old Men then.
needing very much to see the both Coen brothers in the Criterion closet. That dynamic would interest me a lot.
Although I'd like to see the cut scenes from No Country for Old Men, you know?
Well, like Anton Chigurh just walks into a door.
Yeah. No, he's like his cow killer thing, like ricochets off a doorknob and hits him in the nuts and his eyes cross.
His nuts are obliterated. Yeah,
we know which one of them was asleep for No Country for Old Men and which one of them was asleep for Hail Caesar.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe it's like, I get one, you get one.
Yeah, one for me, one for them, and them is my brother. So I want to get into this because we got a lot to get through today. It is No Gods, No Mayors. I am your mayor for this episode, Maddie. I'm joined as ever by my deputy mayors, Riley and November.
Hi, my audio sounds better this time.
Because we all do different podcasts, you can work out what each of us does in the mix in this one.
except we can't... But I do the notes one third of the time.
Well, that's confusing, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we were talking a lot last episode in the bonus about the sort of like cosmology of the order of mayors, because we will do every mayor in order. Yeah. And sometimes the order presents it to us. You know, we can't say
the ordo maioris.
The order maioris sort of presents itself in mysterious ways to us. The sort of cosmic dance of the orbs in the heavens. Mm-hmm. And just sort of miraculously, this mayor that just got put out of office is next up in the order, which is crazy.
Uh-huh.
Well, let's get into it.
I think the ordo maioris knows. Like it's sublime geometry is not even necessarily always interpretable by us. We always just trust it.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
like the loom from Wanted.
Yeah.
Like the loom from Wanted or the Mentaculous from The Serious Man. The two movies that everybody has seen on Earth.
Yeah. Like George Garner, the mayor who was killed in the high speed chase with the cops. Like he was just there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We just turned the page on the loom.
It reveals its own sort of internal logic and brief glimpses.
Mm-hmm. We as the priests can only try to interpret it. But like any good story, you could ask all three of us and we would have a nice little argument about it. That's about Judaism.
Yeah, a serious man. He goes and asks three podcasters what the meaning of municipal power truly is. I'm the last one. I'm just there. I'm like really old. I cough.
You're the Rabbi Nachner.
Yeah, yeah. And he's thinking.
I'm the young one that just says the parking lot because I'm a simpleton.
I guess that leaves me with the middle one who tells the long story about teeth, and I'm like
the goy's teeth.
Not drinking a cup of tea the whole time.
So I want to do a little cold open here for
we
this
all
one.
Love a serious man on this
we
podcast.
All love a serious man.
It's a really good movie.
It's a really good movie.
He doesn't look busy, so I love that line.
Okay, so January. It is January 28th, 2025. Take your minds back about a month and a half. Okay.
That's so difficult. That would be more difficult than if you'd said 10 years, to be honest.
Yeah, I remember bankers were celebrating getting to say mild slurs again.
That's right.
Yeah.
So that's in the air.
Wait a second. I know something about Riley. This person judges time, like marks time in the world by trash future notes. You thought back and you thought, what was I writing notes about at the time for the podcast Trash Future?
Yeah. Scientist find man with world's stupidest memory powers.
It's like this memory palace is built out of fucking idiot bricks. It's all wrong.
It's not wrong. It's just weird.
No, it's just
weird. Set your mind back to January 25. Okay. It's coming to me. It's the free one.
Okay. All right. Let's do it.
Local Fox affiliate headline here. Tiffany Henyard, Thornton Township, sued over a fight at a meeting.
Mm-hmm. This was where she first came to our attention because I posted this. I gave us this, I believe.
You did. And it was also sent in, I think, like 70 times.
Yeah, but I take precedence over all of those.
You know, you found it and put it in the chat. Yeah. And we were like, this deserves its own episode. Mm. But a local activist, Jedediah Brown, is seeking compensatory and punitive damages according to the lawsuit, although he did not give a specific amount of money. Brown claimed one of the defendants named in the lawsuit battered him by pushing, choking, grabbing, kicking, and punching him without justification.
Yeah, he did like Gabrielle D'Annunzio style martial arts on him.
Yeah. He also claimed that Dalton Mayor and Thornton Township Supervisor Tiffany Henyard hit him in the back of the head with a microphone and choked him. So you might be asking yourself, why would the mayor be hitting a guy with a microphone?
It's an unusual mayoral career trajectory. I'll say that.
Yeah. I would like to find out. I thought to myself, let's find out together. Mm-hmm. Really, really quick before we move forward. I was reading a lot and I was going nuts thinking about like, what the fuck do these words mean? Which is very quickly, a township in Illinois is the subdivision of a county. Like this all takes place in Thornton Township, which is a subdivision of Cook County, Illinois, which is like the south suburbs of Chicago.
That's interesting to me because I have also mulled a township of Cook County, Illinois as a subject of the show because there is one that runs the exact same thing as Vernon, California. So
okay,
we're dealing with some interesting local politics here in Cook County. And by interesting, I mean famously corrupt.
Yeah, and a township is like 100,000 people in this instance. And they manage services like the road and the bridges, property assessments, social services. People might say town when they're talking about these, which is confusing to me, Maddie Lipchansky, personally. Villages means a town. In Illinois, you can be a village or a city. A village means you've got a board of trustees. A city means you have aldermen, which, you know, if you're familiar with like Chicago politics, mm-hmm. it's all aldermen all the way down. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So that's alderman. So we're all set up. Who is Tiffany Henyard? She's born in 1983 in Dalton, Illinois, which is a millennial.
An elder millennial.
An elder millennial. It's like
you see the time passing as the mayors you're talking about become kind of like the same age or younger than you.
Yeah, when I tune into a mayor game and all the mayors are younger than me and the coaches are my age, mm-hmm. is when I get really freaked out. Yeah,
when you see a mayor walking around and you're like, that guy's like fucking 18 or whatever, you know.
Yeah, everyone's a boy mayor when you're my age. So she's born in this town, Dalton, which is like a population 20,000. It's a village, technically. And that's the end of what I could find 100% for sure. She claims to have a degree in business administration from Robert Morris College, but this cannot be substantiated later by investigators.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's bad when they're trying to substantiate your like college degree. No one's ever in my life tried to substantiate my degree ever.
Yeah. Like, I don't think once you start trying to substantiate a degree, you might as well not have it.
Mm-hmm.
At that point,
someone's calling the college asking to find me on the rules, I know I have goofed up immensely.
Yeah. Yes. Also, I like that she didn't aim to be like, yeah, I was at Northwestern. You know?
No. Yeah. Yeah. Like just some like local college. Yeah. She claims that she decided to get into politics while attending a block party and hearing some residents complaining.
Silent Alarm. Great album. Still holds up. What do you want from me? That's just true. That's just factually true. That's news you can use. Silent Alarm still holds up. Can I just
elderly
say
millennial moment.
Personally, if not for the podcast, personally, that is a precept that is graven across my heart. The words Silent Alarm still holds up.
Yeah. That one Interpol album from the same time.
November, I'm afraid you goofed. You had one goof, which is that of news reviews and things you can use, that is clearly a review.
It's all the news that's fit to print in the sense that it's news that the album still holds up. It's not a review.
That's right.
It's not even a retrospective. It is a news.
These are facts.
It's a news breaking event that the album still holds up because I went back and I substantiated that shit.
Yeah. Dateline March 7th. 2025.
Mm-hmm. Silent alarm,
still good.
Yeah, still holds up.
Scientists report.
Walter Cronkite just like turning to the camera, putting out a cigarette. We interrupt this broadcast.
So she runs for trustee, which is like the town council, in 2013 and wins. It's like a 6-person council. She is reelected as trustee in 2017. I'm relying on a lot of like scattered and very local small news sources. So the best I can piece together here, this is where the trouble starts and things become very municipal.
Yeah.
And don't play it. So the current mayor at this point in 2017 is a guy named Riley Rogers.
What a fucking name, first of all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Great name as far as all of us on the podcast are concerned, because it works for a girl or a boy.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. The definitionally non-binary mayor.
Riley Rogers has an X instead of an E. So what happens in 2017 is the budget for the 2018-2019 fiscal years is put forward by the board. It's like very austere, mm-hmm. and it would lay off 10 village employees, which is like a significant reduction for a town of 20,000.
Yeah, you've got to figure that's a decent chunk of the workforce.
Yeah.
Yeah. Riley takes issue with this.
Yeah, fuck that.
It says the jobs are essential and he vetoes it. Sorry, they veto it. And the board overrides the veto 4-2. And our girl Tiffany is one of the votes against the override of the veto, means she sides with the mayor. Mm. However, this leads Rogers to the mayor to put forward 2 ballot initiatives for November 2018. This is Riley in November in this sentence.
Yeah, I put forward those ballot initiatives for November in 2018 as a favor to her.
Yeah,
not
thank
confusing.
You.
Yeah,
they seek to eliminate the village's primary election and reduce the number of trustees from 6 to 4. And they prevent, and the ballot initiative also prevents trustees, but not the mayor or clerk, from serving more than 2 consecutive terms.
That's great maneuvering, because that's an auto golpe. That's like a self coup, yeah. To be like, okay, so this isn't working the way we want it. So everybody who's not our crony gets fired, and the people who are our cronies just have jobs for life.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, he claims it's to get rid of the uncooperative and disrespectful board. And he's like, well, let the residents speak on this one. I think this is a classic example of what we've encountered many times on this show, which is someone runs up against what they perceive as cronyism, and they'll say, this is bad. I will replace it with cronyism, parentheses, me.
Yeah, gets gets brainwashed of that thing. Sure. Yeah.
This is just a classic Wasilla aerobics class situation. Like, I'm wondering what these people are all friends via.
That phrase that we all know and love, a classic Wasilla aerobics situation.
We're playing the Wasilla aerobics drop now,
please. I didn't expect this podcast to only take however many episodes we've done to become completely like internecine references.
Yeah, because you know what I mean. If you're listening and my co-host, you know exactly what I mean.
I had someone say to me about the Kill James Bond thing, what do you mean crisp and potato snacks? This being a bit referencing a meme involving the use of the phrase crisp and potato snacks that they had just been confused about the whole time. And I'm just like, I'm not communicating effectively with people anymore. This has hived me off into my own thing. And
yeah, great story. November was the ski dude there.
Was the Greek there? Yeah. So and so now, apparently, as a result of this, I talk in a way that is confusing to normal people, but I get rewarded for this with money in my bank account every month. So
yeah, and then you go to the bank every month, and then they ask you if you're feeling grinted, and then you sigh and say yes, and then you pay your rent.
And everybody in the bank cheers.
The strange kind of gyrations of my kind of idiolect have led me to this point where people find it amusing that I say things that they don't necessarily understand.
That's
sure.
Right.
Yeah, as a job.
Yeah, that's my career, that's my profession, my vocation even.
So the auto golpe pisses off the board really badly, obviously, but Hendyard specifically, despite her agreeing with the mayor on the veto thing, because then she would have had to like run for office again.
Yeah, she's busy.
Getting sent to the like Chicago suburban Lulag, effectively.
Yeah. So she leads a bunch of the board members to file a petition to get this thing off the ballot. A judge disagrees, but the initiatives fail anyways. I'm reading from the Chicago Tribune here because I think this is her like super villain origin story a little bit.
Interesting.
So yeah, as the current 2-term trustee, the only one, Hanyard would be prevented from running again for trustee if the residents approve the term limit question. Were that to happen, she said Rogers should expect a stiff mayoral challenge from her in 2021. I'm spending every little dime to defeat Riley Rogers. I guarantee you that, Henyard said. I will be running for his seat for mayor, which is something I did not want if I am term limited because I can no longer run for trustee. So I'm going to show him how popular I am.
Every little dime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every little dime.
I'm a fighter. I'm not going to let somebody take something from me that's never been me. I fight for others when stuff is taken from them, their houses, issues, anything. So I'm going to do the same for myself. I hate when my issues are taken from me. My issues of Mad Magazine that I keep in my house.
Issues. This woman talks like a Facebook post. It's fascinating.
Yes, very much so.
That's really good. That's like, I'm imagining like being held back by three of my staff physically as I'm screaming this into the microphone.
Yeah. You know? I'm a fighter. That's never been me. I fight for others. So
just
she's
screaming not
off.
To talk Even about though, her family.
Yeah. Crucially, she is not. She does not get term limited out. The initiatives fail, but she still now is mad forever at Riley Rogers.
Revenge, you know, because she like, you know, when at last he settles upon that indignity of making her like run for re-election.
Yeah, revenge is a dish best served municipally.
Municipally and extremely like violently quickly.
With a microphone to the back of the head. Yeah. Good work, 47. Now find an exit.
So while her like political career is heating up from 2017 to 2019 or so, there are also some problems at home, which is not to say her home, but a home she owns and is a landlord of.
Oh, no.
CBS News Chicago headline from August 2019. Dalton woman says mold is growing out of control at house she rents owned by village trustee. And in it, a resident in Section 8 housing, which is like subsidized housing that Henyard owned, claimed that she had been ignoring her reaching out for 2 full years about leaks and mold.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Landlords and leaving you on red, name a better combination. Yeah. It is really funny for that landlord to then be like in public, like, I'm a fighter. I when people have houses, I'm going to do issues to them or whatever.
Yeah, well, no, mold was their issue and I didn't want to take that from them.
That's true. She's never taken an issue from anybody.
She's right there. Mm-hmm. So Henyard responded to the report saying the building had just passed inspection. So I think that's a good insight into the sort of very cool person we're dealing with here.
Mm. A legally, can we say slumlord?
Legally, we can say slumlord.
Okay.
Kind of person. I'm putting legally, we can say slumlord in quotes. Mm-hmm. To S.
Yeah. So like, meanwhile, all of their tenants are just kind of getting more and more mold in their houses until they become transphobic.
That's right. So back to the politics. Despite keeping her seat as trustee, she jumps into the mayor's race in October 2020.
Yeah, to punish Riley specifically.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Hey.
For the February 2021 primaries. I found a contemporaneous article from a very small local news site. So excuse the very insane and bad prose here.
Interesting.
Yeah. So she goes, I am not afraid to speak out. I am not afraid of the current administration. I've always gone to bat for my people and will continue to do so. And that's why I've been coined the people's trustee.
Oh yeah, I saw that
she
movie.
Said.
Can you be coined? I thought you coin a phrase. You don't coin a person as a
she's
thing.
She's been coined. She's been coined.
She's been like impressed with the name, the people's trustee.
Yeah.
And then she says a bunch of stuff about how she like at the next town over is the next village over is dry and is like, maybe we'll look into that. Like I won't do it, but we'll look into it and maybe like, that's a cool idea to not have any more liquor licenses.
This is a fascinating two sentences. Yeah, she says, I would love to incorporate that in Dalton. No, I'm not stating I would cancel liquor licenses. I'm saying I would not allow any more as your mayor. And I would do this as a great team.
You need a team.
You need a team. There's no I in team. This is cheerleader brain. This is the brain that has gotten a CTE from like too many flips rather than impacts, and is just like, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'm going to talk and like figure it out at the same time, and incorporate a bunch of kind of motivation.
Yeah, she speaks like a woman that's been jostled.
If you read the rest of it, it says you need a team. There's no I in team. Unity is where it's at. If you can unify the people and your teammates, you'll make a great leader. Yeah, so if you start with that, she starts with saying, the next county over is dry. I'd love if we became a dry county, but with some liquor licenses still. And I would do this as a great team. And here's what it takes to make a good team, which is why I'd be a good leader, which is the best string of thoughts anyone has ever had.
Yes, because ordinarily, maybe I'm doing kind of like sexist gender binary here. Maybe like I'm wrong about this, but in an American context, in a man, I would describe this as football brain, right? And in a woman, I would tend to describe this as cheerleader brain, right? Similarly exertional, heavily motivation bullshit based things that really do a number on your ability to like communicate ideas.
I love that she's like, what if we were the first dry county that sold alcohol?
Yeah, kind of a moist county.
A moistened county.
The perfect conditions for growing mold.
What if
she's just like a pro mold mayor, just in the abstract, you know, like mold in your apartment, mold in the city, mold in the county.
Yeah, Tiffany Henyard is the first cordyceps that's ever been elected to local office in Illinois.
I think
she's in the pocket of big mold.
The first kind of like hive mind mold spore that gained the ability to speak would say things like, and I would do this as a great team. You need a team. There's no I in team. Unity is where it's at is one of the lines they're whispering in your ear and fucking control, right? Like... This is part of a sort of like a collective consciousness going on here.
Oh my God. She does refer to her candidacy, the slate running with her, as the dream team, which is two trustees and a village clerk.
Uh-huh.
That
That's
comes
my
back
dream.
Later. A note about her calling herself the people's trustee, which later becomes the people's mayor. I can only ever see it in her quotes about herself, but she keeps saying, people call me this.
Uh-huh. Look, she's a person.
Mm-hmm,
she is
true.
A person. I'm the people's mayor, and the person in question
is me. Maybe she's like, if you want the mold out of your apartment, call me the people's mayor. Like, change my contact name in your phone and take a screenshot and show me.
That's basically what she does for the rest of her career.
First name the people's, surname mayor.
Yeah. So that November, she jumps into the mayor's race. Uh-huh. And immediately gives away thousands of dollars of gasoline.
Say she was like a Ridge Racer at that point.
Uh-huh. Like that game Ridge Racer.
Okay, she gives away thousands of dollars of gasoline to people that come by.
Okay, that's really funny. It's like a kind of, that's a like Caucasian in the sense of Dagestan and Ichkeria kind of political move, right? Is
yes.
I've pulled up this fuel truck and I'm just not going to look at it for 20 minutes. And then you guys vote however you want. But remember who parked the fuel truck there and then didn't look in its direction.
Yeah. Also, was she giving it out in like jerry cans?
Sorry, it's in paper cups.
She's giving it out at a fucking gas station.
Just like, what, fill up courtesy of Tiffany Henyard?
Yes. At the Food for Less gas station.
I thought it was weird that she did this this campaign event and then she just started teaching us how to siphon gas out of cars.
Saying it was free gas.
She brought a bunch of siphons with her. It was, yeah.
Look, teach a man, like, get enough money to a man to fill his car and he'll drive for a day. Uh-huh. Teach a man how to siphon gas. Also, it's like, yeah. What
he'll drive for life.
Yeah, that's true. That is true. Also a line in like Mad Max, I'm pretty sure. The first one.
Yeah.
Kind of grim
I found a
tone.
CBS, another local CBS article about this. And just, some legal experts told the CBS2 political investigator, Dana Kozlov at the time, that if the gas giveaway didn't cross the legal line, it definitely stood right on it. A spokesperson for Henyard said at the time that the gas giveaway was not an attempt to buy votes.
No.
So that's that.
She's just introducing herself to the people by letting them know that there's free gas.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
She's just a generous person. There's no expectation there.
Yeah. Your Honor, am I not allowed to give things away to people I love?
Yeah. Your Honor, I actually love my family and friends.
Yeah, I'm actually in a kind of like parasocial relationship with the entire township.
Yeah, and I have to convince them that we're friends.
I'm in a collective consciousness with everyone in the township. These are my drones. Technically, it's more like I'm giving the gasoline to myself.
Yeah, I'm just filling up all of my cars.
These are all my cars because I'm touching them. So Rogers, the incumbent, has a stroke in January 2021, but remains on the ballot. And she wins the primary by like less than 150 votes.
Out of how many do we know?
Out of 3,000 in the primary total. It's only a town of 22,000-ish people.
That's reasonably close then.
It's extremely close.
People are having some doubts maybe about this woman who says she wants to like moisten their township.
But she did give me free gas and say things are going to change.
And she did have some interesting stuff to say about unity.
Yeah, she said it in a really interesting voice. It sounded like it was like a bunch of different voices mixed in stereo, like the master in Fallout 2.
Yeah, did you guys hear that, what she said? I heard it like in my teeth, which was interesting.
I'm really enjoying the kind of eldritch direction we're taking this one. Like,
yeah, this is, you never know where the bits will take you.
No.
We've ended up with the fungal man.
Eric Adams raising a spore-laden flag and saying that the New York City is in many ways the rhizome of America. He may do this in like a week's time if we're in mayoral roundup and Eric Adams is just looking like a big fungal spore in a suit, then you'll know.
You'll know. We predicted it. There's a mushroom growing out of his eye socket. So she says...
You got really
she's
into losing Guattari. Sorry, go on.
Yeah, you're good. So after she wins the primary, she gives a pretty portentous speech in which she says, change has come to Dalton. Today you have voted to end corruption.
Was there corruption?
I don't think so. I mean, there was like a vindictive mayor that didn't like the city council. Sorry, the village
change,
board.
Change has come to Dalton. Praise the
Dalton.
New flesh.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Today you have voted for inclusion, comma, and no exclusion. So I'm glad that she got that straight.
All will be included in the unity. And if you think that that's ominous, just know that whether you think it's ominous or not, you too will be included in the unity.
Yeah. Your excluders become your includers when you win the mayoral primary of success. She defeats an independent candidate for mayor pretty handily in April.
That independent candidate is like the one like sentient human alive left in the like B movie. She defeats the woman at the end of Invasion of the Body Snatchers by like pointing and screaming at her horribly.
It says here that she was elected not on a paper ballot, but everybody in the town said yes in one voice in the center of town. So I'm not sure what happened there, but she wins pretty handily. So I found immediately when she gets into office, what she does immediately is put a bunch of more cops on the street and have people like have the cops like knocking on people's doors and stuff. It's
great,
very grim.
Spore carriers. This is the thing, like
if they pull you over, they just have to cough in the car. And then that's like between one and five more people who have been included in the unity.
That's how you get more officers on the beat.
Yeah, it's like, excuse me, officer, did you just say, did you know how spore you're going? I didn't quite understand what you meant by that. And then you cough directly into closer? My face.
Anybody else itch?
How come the new field sobriety test is I have to take a really big smell of the officer's neck?
Oh boy. Anyways, almost immediately in July, the police do kill somebody.
Jesus.
Which is less funny.
Yeah.
At a fast food drive-thru, there was like a 19-year-old who was clearly, you know, not doing well mentally, refused to leave, is acting threatening at the drive-thru. One worker says that she has a gun. They call the cops. The cops shoot at her immediately. She drives off and crashes her minivan into a building and dies.
I mean, if you will hire more cops, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen. You know?
Yeah, like, it happens like immediately.
Yeah.
The cops kill somebody. And this is, you know, adding five cops to the force, but the force was, you know, 10.
We've added five cops to the force, but we've given them kind of a like, sort of forced together in a very ungainly way, motivational speech, but it's just like five different voices overlaid on each other telling them there's no I in team, go out and kill.
Yeah, we've added five cops, but they only have, it looks like three legs altogether because they're kind of like...
Yeah, five cops shamble towards you, shooting in every direction. It's like, yeah, what are you, some kind of a freak cop? He reached for his badge, but it was fused to his leg.
Yeah.
Are you still going for the freak cop service weapon because you must?
Go for like any number of the freak cop service weapons, you know?
Yeah.
No, it was the entire police force of McCall, South Carolina. They were like, look, there's a police department up in Illinois that's paying suspiciously well. Let's pack up sticks. Fuck that George Garner guy. Let's go up there. I bet we won't get assimilated into anything.
When a bunch of cops get their like duty belts hooked together and form a cop king.
I hate when the cop king rolls at me very slowly. In September of that year, Henyard holds a quote unquote mandatory meeting for homeowners in town. It is not mandatory because how do you do that?
Yeah, if you hold an actually mandatory meeting for homeowners, that's the lottery. That's Shirley Jackson's The Lottery.
Yeah, and then we're mixing our metaphors between the lottery and the fungus. So I don't want that to happen. Some protesters interrupt her meeting and she has them arrested.
Officers shamble at these men.
Officers, these men believe there is an I in team. Correct them.
So, you know, at this point, she's been
these
mayor
handcuffs
for
wet.
It's a better environment.
And warm.
God, this is the grossest town in the entire universe.
There's a line at the end of Inside Man that I didn't really get into about how insane it is when we did it for Kill James Bond, where the cop's secret cop girlfriend says, baby, come on, the handcuffs are getting cold or whatever. And I've been thinking about the relative temperature normalcy of handcuffs for a while because of that. And I think a warm handcuff, like an unpleasantly warm handcuff is like tepid, a deeply distressing thing.
It's the name of the film about Dalton is The Warm Handcuff.
It's also a bar that I'm pretty certain I've been to.
Yeah, so this is like September. She's sworn in May. So it's like she's not been mayor for long. And it's already things begin to fray a little bit. But I've got here in the notes, it says, enough table setting, Maddie, you classically beautiful moron. Here comes the famous back half of an episode of No Gods, No Mayors, insane cascade of wacky shit. So
I love the insane cascade. It's my favorite part of every episode.
Yeah, I mean, and listen, I timed this perfectly. So yeah, things start fraying with the council almost immediately. She tries to hire some like $3,000 a month media consultant, which the board vetoes.
Well, because the thing is, every news network in America has to know about the unity. They have to know about the kind of unity that's possible in Dalton. If you just come to Dalton and you just breathe the air, you breathe the air, you touch a lot of surfaces, maybe like rub your eyes idly in a moment.
People don't understand. Is that it's easy. It's like getting into a warm bath. You just relax. It's not surrender. Uh-huh. It's relaxing.
It feels completely natural. More natural, maybe, than anything that you'll do in your sort of like so-called life.
It's bliss.
Feels incredible.
I love the Tiffany Henyard's new slogan for the village of Dalton, which is, Dalton, surrender to the inevitability.
But the board vetoes her weird media consultant and she retaliates. Which they start accusing her of locking them out of the village hall and blocking their efforts to like put items on meeting agendas.
So wait, hold on. She said no exclusion, but that looks like exclusion to me. What the hell?
Yeah, no exclusion, but I am not letting you into the building.
The true inclusion is, you know, as one, right? That's the I in team, right? And if you're not included in that, Lord.
Yeah,
you've chosen to exclude yourself.
Imagine what this episode would be like if I didn't mention the mole.
It's so cool that we started running a Call of Cthulhu game in the middle of in the middle of our podcast recording.
Oh my Lord. So at this point the board already has, like, it's her first year of being mayor. The board has already hired their own legal counsel to represent them against her because things are getting so touchy.
That's not a great sign in your relationship with anyone when you're like, we collectively need to hire a lawyer about this.
Yeah. So April 2022, the board is suing her for all sorts of conflicts of interest. They start holding meetings without her.
Well, so they think, but you know, if you look inside the walls, there's a lot of kind of like presence. That.
Yeah, she's always with you. You know, you can't forget
that. It's all a mandatory meeting, right? All a mandatory meeting.
Yeah, we're all meeting sort of like in the third place beyond the mind.
In a kind of plane, you know? It looks like a kind of very lush, very verdant environment, right? Lots of spores, you know?
Mm. Yeah, that gym, third space.
In October of 2022, she is censored. or censured, sorry. And they try to get her to pay the city back for all the overtime. She's requiring 24-hour police protection.
I'm kind of now talking myself around to the horror of this, right? Because I get that that's a, if we suspend the bit for a second, that's a perk, right? You have the cops drive you around. You get to hang out with the cops. There's guys with guns, so they can't bother you. But like, if you're the mayor of like a town of 20,000 people, there's not a non-eldritch reason to be doing that, right? Mm. Like, maybe you get like one cop like chauffeuring you, but you don't get like a detail. You don't have the cop king.
Unless what you're doing is you're essentially doing the mayoral or municipal version of showing up to court in a neck brace and just like gigantically exaggerating the amount of threat you're under.
Well, like Elon Musk, just like carrying your son everywhere around you.
Yeah, you're in the Drake bullet hole vest or the bullet hole sweater with the smoke coming out of it. Anyways, so by 2023, a bunch of businesses and other residents in the town are suing her as well, claiming that she's been using the police force to intimidate residents for not supporting her. I'm reading from a local TV station, WGN.
Have you ever noticed how all the cops have the same badge number? And when you try and read it, your eyes start hurting?
Yeah. And they say, look closer. So I'm reading here from a local news
It's like, site. Well, it was a car with lights on the top, and I assume it was the police, but it doesn't say police on the side. It says something.
A local truck yard owner claims he's been repeatedly harassed for not supporting Mayor Tiffany Henyard. I'm suffering, he said. They destroyed my trucking company. They shut my store down. For what it's worth, this guy was accused of throwing illegal parties in there, so it's a little unclear.
Do you want to go to an illegal party in a truck yard in suburban Chicago? Okay,
yes, I do. Apparently, I do want to do that.
Right. Yeah, a deputy clerk also claims the board increased her pay to $60,000, but Henyard ordered her not to implement the raise because Montgomery is not among her supporters.
This is really funny, like all mold aside, right, as a tale of despotism on the smallest possible scale. Like, you're like purging your enemies, you're sort of like insulating yourself with your secret police. It's like you're doing like Stalin Ceausescu shit, but with like 20,000 people. That's really fun in and of itself. It's like,
start small.
Yeah.
Like,
how
do you get to Carnegie Hall?
You practice. You practice. You
practice. Practice
you
practice.
Dress for the job you want, dictator, and then you kind of you take that to the city hall that you're locking the city council out of.
Yeah, it's so funny to lock them out, like to do all this retaliatory stuff where you were locking people out of a building called Village Hall.
Yeah,
it's all and all because like they were against you getting a media consultant.
Let me look up the Village Hall of Dalton, Illinois.
Yeah, for some reason, she also, in terms of like purging enemies, she doesn't let some church renovate a building they purchased in an area zoned for religious institutions. They sue her. So she had like some beef with a church.
So the Village of Dalton Municipal Building is once again, for some reason, I'm thinking about the Federal Bureau of Control again. It looks like if you took a 1x1 tile version of the like research facility from season one of Stranger Things.
Oh, yeah. Right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
It looks real ominous.
Well, it's because that's where they control the fungus.
This is
yes.
Well, if I can tell you, as the only person here who is from the Great Lakes.
Does this building exist?
As the only person here who is from the Great Lakes, I can tell you for 100% certain that this is the most usual kind of Great Lakes building that there is. Uh-huh. I have seen 1 million versions of this in towns in like the Niagara region outside of Toronto. Mm. This it could be called something like beige modernism.
Mm.
It appears to be windowless, and by looking at it, you know exactly what it smells like. I don't know why the Great Lakes loves sort of beige boxes more than anywhere else, but this is instantly familiar to me. It's like, oh yeah, that's where like the clinic in Niagara-on-the-Lake would be, or whatever.
Mm. Yeah, that's where I got the fungus out.
Yeah.
Or the fungus in, depending on which part of the story you're in.
It's like one wing fungus out, one wing fungus in.
Yeah. So somehow during all this in 2022, she's appointed the supervisor of Thornton Township, which is again, that sort of like subdivision of Cook County.
You expand your empire, right? Just as you say, you start small and you build outwards. Yeah.
I mean, basically. So the process is basically insane. And it's clear she was appointed because they had like 15 minutes before a deadline expired after the previous supervisor died. And the other people on the township board.
Mold-related illness.
Yeah. They like, if they had not gotten someone before this deadline that they beat by 15 minutes, it would have gone to a town hall meeting where literally anybody from the whole township could become the supervisor and the board didn't want that.
That's so, that's incredible. Institute that immediately. That's my conclave.
Yeah. So the position makes $224,000 a year, but at Henyard's urging, they adopt a policy that the supervisor should only make $22,000 a year.
Sure.
But of course, Henyard would be grandfathered in, and the change would only apply if someone challenged her and won.
It's so smart that to mindset, be able to like...
That's mindset. That's genius.
Well, it's so smart to be able to do like... Just say a bunch of stuff really fast and be like, oh, but and by the way, also it only makes 22K if they beat me, and like have that actually take. I still make $250,000.
Like heads I win, tails you lose kind of scam.
It just bursts in and is like, I'm supervisor now. Next guy makes 22K. I'll keep the quarter mil. Everybody agree with that? If you don't agree with it, I'm walking out your supervisor list. I hold all the cards. Checkmate, Henyard.
So she gets into the supervisor position and immediately starts doing the same shit there. One of her critics of spending as Doldemare was a township assessor. This woman named Cassandra Elston.
Allegedly. One of her critics was named Cassandra.
Oh, this is a heavy-handed horror movie now, huh?
Yeah. Henyard allegedly locks her out of her office and then spreads her files around a common area, including files that have taxpayers' names, addresses, telephone numbers, and even some social security numbers.
What, just like spreads them out in a kind of like Yellow King like diorama type situation?
Uh-huh. Just like all over a common area, just like through everything, like through these bankers' boxes, just sort of like all over the place.
Yeah. Oh, your constituents are going to get identity thefted, and now you're going to have to deal with that.
She was just going through all of the files just to like figure out some things and she forgot to put them away.
Yeah.
Not in a creepy order.
She wanted to see who was susceptible to what.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. She just wanted to see, look, who's the, like, if there says in the file who's the moistest, she wanted to know because she's in a new area with a bunch of new constituents.
Yeah. So while she's becoming South Shore Chichescu, the township board, or the village board of trustees puts forward two ballot measures, one saying that the town can recall a mayor and two to recall her.
Oh, so they're trying to do like a 1-2 punch where it's like pass this to give us the power to recall mayors and then pass this to give to recall this one specifically.
Yeah. So she is recalled, like both pass, but it's a judge throws it out because
he was assimilated.
Yeah.
He was assimilated. I think it's more just like you're trying to take too many terms like in a Magic the Gathering game. You know, you can't do both those things on the same turn. You have to do like one, can I recall? Two, you're recalled. Like you can't do both. Uh-huh. You used your movement.
It does seem a little like bullshit to me. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. So they throw it out. And in 2022, also the board led by Dream Teamers, Jason House and Allison Keys, which is a funny combination of names to me.
House and Keys.
Well, look, here's the thing. When you assimilate a whole town and you find there's one person named House and one person named Keys, you make them walk around together.
You put them in charge. Yeah. Also, the fact that we keep saying the board is not helping with the control thing, I'm thinking it more and more.
Yeah.
Jason House and Allison Keys were levitating, bouncing off the ceiling of the fucking Dalton Village Hall.
They were two former members of the Dream Team slate, or should I say traitors. They put forward a resolution that a 3/5 majority of the board can remove any appointee, which is clearly targeted at her and a guy she appointed as village supervisor, but was already also hired as quote senior advisor for an undisclosed amount of money.
This is like Eric Adams just making up jobs and giving them to friends.
Mm. Yeah.
Chief vibes consultant, $220,000 a year.
The next Chief Vibe consultant only makes $5 a year, by the way.
Yeah, they call an emergency meeting to remove her as like the signatory on city checks because her spending is getting out of control and there's a lot of transparency issues.
I know you've put some of this in, but I have just found a local news article that I've put in the group chat, which thanks to GDPR, I can only read the headline. But the headline is, Illinois Village spent $43,000 on Amazon purchases in a single day.
Yeah. pretty good. It's that kind of stuff.
Well, she's I'll buying get to more the movies rather than renting them.
Who still buys stuff off Amazon? It's all like no name brands now. It's shit. Like,
well, no, she's not wanting to rent Green Book. She wants to buy it because she might want to watch it again.
Uh-huh.
Or The Hours or the other Oscar bait movies of yesteryear.
Instead of subscribing to Amazon Prime, what you do is you go through and you go to Prime Video and you buy every movie you might conceivably want to watch.
She's buying physical copies of The Boys. It's crazy.
DVD box set of The Crown.
She's buying the unrated version of the of Eurotrip.
Well, that's the director's vision. So
she's buying every copy.
If you watch the companion documentary by Les Blank, you actually find out that the shooting of Eurotrip was this kind of existential nightmare. You know, it's kind of it's really a companion piece. You need to watch both. You know,
apparently the native Slovenians offered to kill Klaus Kinski.
Thank you for picking up the burden of dreams there.
And we got there. My favorite part of Eurotrip is when they cut the bus in half and have to transport it over a mountain by hand. So, you know, they do this thing where they take her off a signature of the checks. And
I wish I knew any of the actors in Eurotrip's names. Yeah. The guy who looks like a sort of like a Quaid brother knockoff. They were gonna murder that
I can't try to fucking squeeze any more Eurotrip Fitzcarraldo shit out of my brain.
Tiffany Henyard, mayor of the useless.
Oh my lord. Okay. So she, after this, she's removed his signature on the checks. She claims that it's because she says about the city council, their beef is that I won't hire their friends or give contracts to their buddies. I won't play ball. Yeah. She's like claiming everybody else is corrupt.
She was going to Amazon, ordering like 43 DVD box sets of The Crown and then paying with a check from the city.
Checks in the mail, Jeff.
She's paying traveler's checks to Amazon. So she's spending like a maniac. The board votes 5-1 to pay the town's bills, except for nearly 24 vendors. The trustees say Henyard is recklessly spending money without prior approval on lavish parties and pet projects designed to woo voters while the town faces a $3 million budget deficit, which is a lot for a small town.
Between the illegal parties in the truck yard and the mayoral sanctioned parties, this is a really like party town.
Well, they want to get people together.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And cough on each other and kind of like breathe a lot.
No residents refused.
It's weird that this was one of the first towns to like ban masking after COVID.
She's also spending a lot of money with billboards of her own face.
Reminding them about town trip services. Not small town Ceausescu, small town Bashar al-Assad.
No, come on, it's small town Mussolini. It's Henyard. Yeah.
It's her giant plaster face. So we're now encountering also a running no gods, no mayors theme, which is of course trips.
Yeah, you don't want to stay in the South Shore.
No. So at this point, she's making close to 300 grand a year from her two positions. The credit card records from the township show that she and some other officials spent nearly 67 grand on trips to Portland, Austin, Atlanta, New York City.
That's a weird combination of that. That's a like indie band tour. Like,
yeah.
Yep. No, they were following Pavement.
Yeah. Like they racked up a almost 10 grand bill at the Atlanta Four Seasons alone. In New York, 13 grand staying at a Marriott in Times Square.
I am the American town supervisor.
Yeah. Airline records show everyone in the group frequently flies first class.
You know, Atlanta is always the first stop. get doing like Turkish Airlines corruption, but it's for like a regional subsidiary of like American or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, they're spending 23 grand on restaurants just in Illinois. Like going to a winery and a steakhouse and like,
I mean,
okay, all right.
In rural Illinois.
It sounds like it actually probably would be pretty good. Well, a winery in rural Illinois. Never mind. That's hold on.
Yeah, somewhere between Dalton and Springfield, because they were on a charity bike ride when that happened.
Cooper's Hawk Winery, if you want to look that up, Riley.
I like that Jerry Jones is one of her allies who's with her, because I guess like running the Cowboys just wasn't enough for him.
Yeah, I think it might be a different Jerry Jones. But, one of her chief of staff at this time, Nikita Cloud, said, quote, "She likes the good stuff."
Mm-hmm.
So we salute you, Tiffany.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I do. I certainly do.
Her explanation of the travels is like, it's important to note these expenditures often involve a large group of officials. These trips play a crucial role in building relationships.
I have to tell you right now, the Cooper's Hawk Winery and Restaurant.
Yeah. Huh?
Is if you go to their site right now, they are promoting an event with magician Azzy Wind.
Wait, no, I saw him in New York. He's incredible, Riley. Uh-huh. He does close-up magic, and you get in a really small room, and it was the most incredible magic show I've ever seen in my entire life. Magic is cool. Ozzy Wind was good at doing magic.
Mm-hmm. And you can get a bottle of the barrel fermented Chardonnay.
That's right. I saw his performance of The Inner Circle underneath Judson Church, and it was great. Riley.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sorry.
Magic is cool. I love it. It's fun to watch.
Uh-huh.
I clap like a little seal because I don't know what happened to the cards.
I'm not willing to put that on the precepts. I will say that. I'm magic ambivalent. You know?
I'm anti-magic.
I saw the Prestige. I thought it was fun.
It rips.
I haven't seen the other magician movie that they put out.
Musie,
yeah. The Illusionist. Magician I haven't musical? Seen that. Yeah, I would love to see a magician musical. Actually, I'd put that one down.
Yeah, we're all going to make that together. That's what we're going to do. We're going to hang out now and do that.
Patent pending.
TM.
Is this your card?
Jesus.
Sorry. Please continue.
Was the it snag there?
The it snag?
Yeah, he was with the ski dude. Yeah.
So regarding the changes, we already got through there. But she claims that the trips are for like building relationships and attracting investment, which sounds like she's trying to find new hosts mm-hmm. for her spores.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every mayor who does some crazy shit is like, this is to promote the town.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, trying to get people to travel to Dalton, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On one of the trips, an aide anonymously reported that one of the trustees on the trip sexually harassed her. It was the details of which are really gnarly. I don't want to get into it on the air. She claimed she was then retaliated against by Henyard. This led to future guest of the show, Lori Lightfoot, being asked by the village to investigate Henyard.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's bad when you're like, who can we get to investigate this mayor? The only person who can stop a bad mayor is also a worse mayor. Yeah.
Illinois's most normal woman, Lori Lightfoot, is called in.
Mayors are like cops. They investigate themselves.
Yeah. Well, Lori Lightfoot is also a cop, is why.
Oh, okay. Sure. Yeah.
So at this point in 2023, Henyard has allegedly 40 lawsuits pending against her.
Yeah, she's including everybody.
That's so much paperwork.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, right, I thought it was a weird idea to get everybody to like sue her on the same day and then get like all into the same court building.
Well, they can only speak with one voice.
In like close proximity and then really kind of like, they've really hashed this all out, you know? It's going to be a big event, so the public gallery should also be as full as possible.
Full as possible. Yeah. No masks, by the way. Mm-hmm. She also has a charity called Tiffany Henyard Cares, which is cancer and remission empowering survivors.
What?
Which is a sentence that I had to read seven
cancer
times.
Cancer and remission empowering.
Yeah, they both
survivors.
Empower the survivors equally, right? Yeah, because you have the challenge and then also the kind of like victory, right? Like,
I feel like your backronym should make sense. Cancer and remission empowering survivors.
Well, I think this makes sense. It's you get empowered first with the cancer and then a second time more strongly with the remission, right? Like this is your power increases.
Yeah. More importantly, the charity spent thousands of taxpayer dollars for a group bicycle ride to Springfield in support of a breast cancer bill. Henyard said in videos.
I mean, if it's kind of like if we're suggesting cancer empowering and all of the spore stuff, maybe this is kind of an echopraxia type situation.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It's she is a hive mind of hyper intelligent tumors.
I mean, listen, we don't know.
Yeah.
It's possible.
More importantly, though, about this bike ride, the bill was never formally filed and state lawmakers were not in session when this happened.
Doing a charity bike ride to the state capitol when it's in recess.
When no one's there. Yeah. And spending $23,000 on steakhouses and magic wine.
The slowest, drunkest bicycle rides.
Taxpayers were on the hook for $17,000 in t-shirts and $8,000 in travel expenses.
How
for hotels and restaurants.
Spend $17,000 in t-shirts? We've done podcast t-shirts before. We've never spent that much.
Yeah, November. I hear they went to the Rick Owens store. I hope they recovered both the t-shirts.
How about that one? Pretty good.
Pretty good. Uh-huh. Pretty good. At a village board meeting in 2023. Henyard got a DJ to punctuate her political points with musical cues, including Rihanna's hit single, Bitch Better Have My Money, where she demanded trustees approve the bill for a village ice rink. That is one of two ice rinks trustees say they never authorized spending money on.
Oh, she's Michael Applebaum pilled as well.
Yeah, she loves skates. I like that she's invented drops independently. I think she has a podcaster's soul. Mm-hmm. Possibly yes. That's been assimilated at some point when one of us went to the township.
Yeah,
I'm so excited for us to hang out in person in New York, by the way.
Become Lacutus of Dalton.
Fuck off. she fires her first ever appointment, which is the police chief, allegedly because his wife was friends with some local critics of her. He responded by exposing that she had been spending even more taxpayer money on hundreds of hours of overtime since her censure in 2021. So she could at all times have 2 to 3 police officers escorting her wherever she goes.
It's not 2 to 3 police officers in the sense that the number varies. It's that it's hard to tell looking at them how many police officers it is.
Yeah, your mind kind of slips off of them.
It depends which of the cop kings is escorting her that day. The little one or the big one?
It's possible that there's a third badge inside there that's just currently being subsumed and will be expressed later.
Yeah, like the FBI says it's the number of heads, but like the National Guard says it's the number of hands is what you're supposed to count.
Yeah, after the kind of situation, after the crisis, it was a whole issue as they were burning all of the bodies. What do you write down for this? I think FEMA had a separate thing for it as well.
Yeah. So yeah, during all this, the village board is like taking away her ability to like hire and fire people, but she just does it anyways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So she's a really bad 2023. And 2024 is also bad. So right off the bat, a reporter is denied entrance into a township Black History Month event unless they sign an NDA.
Uh-huh.
Could they possibly be saying in there? No, I mean, it's probably fungal business.
Does the fungus celebrate Black History Month? Is blackness still a distinct quality to the hive mind? Is it a woke fungus? Does it have DEI policies? Is it like the diversity enriches the collective consciousness? Yeah. Or is it like, you know, will it be assimilated or is it just kind of
do
like...
Do they want to... Is it easier to assimilate a homogenous population?
That's a great question. This is a great question in like advanced fungal studies.
Yeah. You should actually just ask a fungus that one.
Mm.
Yeah.
Riley, I'm not thrilled how as it gets darker in your room, the webcam has a kind of greenish tint surrounding you.
It really does. The angle's also very extreme on you and I'm becoming terrified of it. So, and then in a sort of like, that's now you've got a weird glowing.
You've added the Denis Villeneuve Dune Part 2, like sunlight behind yourself. That's yeah, that's Denis Villeneuve's anxiety noise. They just left it in, like Tina Belcher. Anytime he thought he was doing a bad job doing the movie and he had imposter syndrome, that's when they just have
the town overrides her veto of them cutting the budget because like the police cars are up for repossession in the town and they're in the huge budgetary hole. Yeah,
you're not going to get much for them because you're going to scrape off like a solid 4 inches of mold off of every surface in them.
She gave away all the gas in the town. And then they had to cut, then when there was no more gas in the town because she gave it all away, they had to cut the bottoms out of the cop cars and run them like Flintstones.
It's the second time in 3 weeks we've talked about Flintstone cars.
Won't be the last.
Meetings become very contentious. She's screaming things at meetings like, you all forget I'm the leader. They want to hear from the mayor. You all ain't learned that yet.
This is like Gaddafi's last words.
Yeah, she vetoes an investigation into her own spending by the board. So yeah, a little speed round of more 2023 stuff. A group of former village and township employees are suing her in separate suits for wrongful termination, including an HR manager who refused to make a list of dirt on other employees and then taking family leave was locked out of the township building and made to work out of her car for months.
Jesus.
A building permits director who said she was fired for refusing to withhold permits to business owners who did not make donations to her.
Mm-hmm. So far, so good.
Yep. An employee of Public Works who claimed she was retaliated against for refusing to work on Henyard's campaign while on the clock during the recall effort and said it happened after she was seen reading a negative article about Henyard at work.
Yeah, not seen by like human eyes, though, crucially.
No. See, like seen without seeing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would say.
Yeah, well, you don't need eyes to see. In Dalton County.
Where we're going.
In Dalton,
yeah. Yeah.
Where we're going, the South Shore of Chicago.
A report comes out that her phony cancer charity's funding is coming almost entirely by township and village taxpayer money, mm-hmm. and she becomes to distance herself from it publicly.
It's got her name on it.
Look, that could be
it
any,
sure does.
That could be any Tiffany Henyard.
Yeah.
In this town of 20,000 people.
Yeah, and then, you know, so things are kind of falling apart around her. In December, the Thornton Township Democrats opt for a caucus in lieu of a primary for the nomination of the next supervisor in an obvious move to oust her and replace her with former NFL linebacker Napoleon Harris.
What? Who is getting now like a $22,000 salary?
That's right. She complains about the process, but remember, she's only there because they didn't want some random guy from the town winning. So she's like, hey, it was cool when you got me in via some like sneaky dealings, but now you're sneakily dealing me out for Napoleon Harris.
Again, dictator having their shit ended by someone named Napoleon, not unprecedented, right? But like,
I do love that she was like, well, I guess that rules out anyone who isn't independently wealthy. I hope no former professional athletes decide they want to be township like governor.
Are they considered charming? Yeah. So, and that's how our 2024 ends. And then 2025 is even worse.
Oh, no.
In January of this year, Lori Lightfoot returned somehow and released her 70 plus page report about Henyard, basically confirming all the worst allegations about her. Henyard's attorney, who's named Bo Brindley, which I like.
Maddie, how do you keep that from us this whole time?
Bo Brindley? He sounds like an adorable dog.
Yeah. I'm looking here. It says that he's an adorable dog with mushrooms growing out of his ear holes.
This is a kind of like if the mushrooms all got together to imitate the form of an Australian cattle dog wearing a little bandana.
Yeah, they're wearing the Crocodile Dundee hat. Yeah. Good day, it's me, Bo Brindley. Anyways, Bo Brindley said Lori Lightfoot is a failed mayor whose fiscal irresponsibility was overwhelming.
Get her ass. That's real. That's true. Really, yeah. Funny to be like, no, you're a fucking terrible mayor.
Yeah, but it's true. It's like, yeah, the idea that any credibility could be given to her findings about another mayor's financial decisions is preposterous.
True.
This is an effort by a failed political figure desperately seeking the limelight to which she is no longer entitled. And it's like, yeah, village, maybe don't.
I love that. You're seeking the limelight by coming for Henyard.
Yeah, like, And if you're the village, why are you getting Lori fucking Lightfoot? It's bizarre. It's stupid. Everyone in this town is dumb because they have a mushroom instead of a brain. So also in late January is that fight I mentioned up top of the episode. It's the culmination.
A detail about the fight that I didn't mention, which is the guy who's being sued besides her for battery is, I believe, her boyfriend. And
yes,
he got into a fight defending her, like from the stage, from the podium. And I really, yeah, like the concept of like first boyfriend, like mayoral boyfriend being a, yeah, kind of like cabinet level position.
Yeah. Whose job is to get into fights for you.
Yes.
The village, yeah, boyfriend.
You're lucky the first boyfriend isn't here.
Yeah.
Cause he would
that,
fuck,
I mean, that
you
fight
up.
Is, the fight's like the culmination of 3 years of like increasingly rowdy village meetings where she's yelling and getting DJs and stuff. But this one ended with like people standing. I watched the video of it. People like standing on desks, they're ripping TVs off the walls. And there's the one fateful microphone strike and choking. And she's being sued by two others involved in the fight.
Where the hell were the 2 to 3 cops?
Well, their car got repossessed. They were getting there as fast as they could on foot. They're trying to hail a cab.
Yeah, they're outside fighting with the repo man. So the final insult, about 10 days ago at the time of recording, Jason House, the former Dream Team slate member, demolished her in the primary with 88% of the vote.
You know what they say, the house always wins.
The house always wins.
The 12% of the people who did still vote for her were like, what, directly employed?
Directly they controlled, sort of like Mass Effect 2 style.
Yeah, I think at some point the town must have been like dusted by the U.S. Army with some sort of fungicide.
Lost my shit to Mr. House when he got access to that platinum chip.
Yeah, and I want to just set a scene for how embarrassing it was that she lost and how she lost. And I'm quoting here from an article in the Trib. Nope, sorry, the Chicago Sun-Times. House and the rest of his, quote, clean house slate.
Oh, that's good.
Walked out to a recording of Kendrick Lamar's Super Bowl performance of Not Like Us, dancing their way up to the podium before declaring victory.
What is that? Is he calling her a pedophile? What?
I truly don't know, but just what an insulting way to declare victory.
Just like, I need to be imbued by the spirit of a bigger hater than me. So I'm going to go to Kendrick Lamar for that. Like,
yeah,
that's beautiful.
My
so she
God.
Is she is still in office, but she will be out of office very soon. And it appears that her reign of terror is over.
It does also seem like the FBI and like many other law enforcement agencies are like poking around the terrifying village hall. So,
oh yeah, like right now she's being trailed by like thousands of cop cars at all times, but not the ones that she paid for.
She's like having the experience of like the last 20 minutes of Goodfellas, where she's like looking out of the windshield and there's like, you know, the helicopter keeps following her.
All she watches was a larger police escort she did not have to spend money on.
If you commit enough crimes, allegedly, you get a free police escort anywhere you go.
Yeah.
That's hype tips. Hashtag hype tips.
What a mayor. What a mayor.
And that's Tiffany Henyard, who was voted the worst mayor in America by some publication.
I'm bringing Time Magazine's Worst Mayor of America 2005, Kwame Kilpatrick, for our next.
Oh my God.
Our next one.
Wow. And that'll be on the bonus feed next
Thank
week.
You so much for bringing us Tiffany Henyard. This is,
of course,
this is a beautiful mayoralty. This is rise, fall. It's got everything. It's incredible. Fungus. It's got moistness. It's got warmth.
Like slipping into a pair of warm handcuffs.
Oh, thank you, Maddie. That was delightful.
And thank you all for listening. You can catch Mayor Riley taking us through Kwame Kilpatrick's mayoralty next week on the bonus feed at nogodsnomayors.com. Mm-hmm.
And
this is really just a perfect encapsulation of everything we talk about here, because it really seems like this is a woman who became mayor by accident, basically, and things kind of got out of control.
Yeah. This is a perfect story of like what someone just going absolutely psycho crazy with power so immediately. Like her rise and fall was so fast. Like by the end of her first year as mayor, everybody already hated her so much. And it was just a matter of time. But I wanted to get us back on track with a mayor that was a mayor. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Crazy idea. Oh, let's see if it catches on.
Sorry, I misspoke. I didn't want to get us anywhere. The order spoke to me through the dance of the heavens and the planets. Yeah, we are but psychopomps for the order's whims. Mm-hmm. Anyways, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.